Welcome to the Carter Report Today with Pastor John Carter. Our topic today is Amazing True Stories from the Evil Empire, How to Live a Life of Faith, Courage, and Hope.
Hello, friend. I'm John Carter. Welcome back to part two of these amazing stories from the land of the Evil Empire. We have tremendous things to share with you today. Welcome back. Part two, The Carter Report.
You can now find The Carter Report anywhere, anytime, on any Android or Apple device. Use your cell phone, tablet, computer, or TV to access the many inspirational messages from Pastor Carter 24/7. For Apple users, go to the App Store. For Android users, go to Google Play and download the free Carter Report app. The Carter Report also has an official YouTube and Vimeo channel. Search for The Carter Report and find the topic that speaks to you. Roku users, simply search for The Carter Report and download the app free. The same on Amazon Fire. For Apple TV, visit the App Store and download the app. Reach out to The Carter Report and experience the hope, faith, and love of Jesus Christ.
Let me continue where I was telling you in the first segment about the great journey on the Trans-Siberian Railway Express from Moscow to Vladivostok, right across the heartland of what Ronald Reagan called the Evil Empire. Reagan was right, because when communism and atheism ruled Russia and Ukraine, it was the Evil Empire that put to death tens of millions of innocent people. The greatest atrocities took place in that part of the world than in any other time or any other place in the history of the human race. We were traveling across Siberia on this mighty train to give out Bibles. We had thousands of Bibles and thousands of bottles of vitamins and minerals and medicines and tapes, gospel tapes. And the believers, the Christian believers, had been told beforehand that we were coming. And they came from hundreds of miles to meet the Trans-Siberian Express. When the train stopped, midnight, 2 a.m, 4 a.m, 5 a.m, the middle of winter, mind you, middle of winter, minus 30 degrees, 10 a.m, the sun was up, we hoped, 12 a.m, 1 a.m, the people came in their crowds, and our team would set up the PA system and plug in the lights at nighttime to the Trans-Siberian Express, and I would have the privilege and the opportunity to preach the word of God. And then the team went into action and they gave out the Bibles. Days of grace and glory. But at one stopping place, nobody came to meet us. We wondered, what has happened? What has happened to the advertising? Nobody's here. And the train was there for 20 minutes. And then we saw somebody in the distance. And he came toward us. And our Russian translator said to him, who are you? Where are all the people who... He said, we got the time mixed up. They came yesterday, 24 hours ago, he said. I've been waiting here. Did you waited through the night? Did you have a place to go to? No, he said, I've been waiting here. I didn't want to miss the train. He was one of our pastors. I tell you, my friend, in Siberia, the heart of this evil empire, we found people who were filled with faith and hope and strength and glory. I came to the conclusion that I had believed for so many years, but it was reinforced in my mind that Jesus Christ is the power of God and he works in the hearts of his people.
Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. The Carter Report team in 1995 conducted a great citywide campaign in the city of Kyiv, Ukraine. Vast crowds thronged the great palace of sport downtown Kyiv. After one meeting, a young man came to see Pastor Carter. With him was a group of 20 or 30 people. He was the pastor of our church in Chernobyl. He was thin and haggard, not married. What can you tell us about that meeting?
On April 26, 1986, the number 4 reactor, number 4 reactor at the atomic nuclear power plant went into meltdown. It was hell on earth. All of these terrible, terrible fumes were spewed out into the atmosphere. And they came down upon the people. It was a tremendous blunder of the communist administration. Did they take responsibility? No, because they were never wrong. At the same time, there was a tremendous parade taking place in the big city of Kyiv, people marching down the streets. Thousands were standing beside the streets, and this rain of death was coming down. And the communists knew about it. They did nothing about it. They were the lords of the evil empire. Now, we were running a campaign in 1995 in the city of Kyiv. We saw hundreds of thousands of people come to the meetings. 100,000 people tried to get into the opening meeting. They couldn't get in because we just didn't have the room. The place only seated 12,000. We had multiple sessions, but we couldn't satisfy the appetite of the people to hear, after so many years of deception and lies, to hear the good news of the gospel of Christ. We saw thousands of people come to Christ. We saw more than 3,500 souls baptized in the cold waters of the Dnieper River. We saw, I'm telling you, my friend, we saw the power of God. After an evening meeting, it was getting late. I was told that there were some folks who wanted to see me. I'd been preaching most of the day. But they said, these people have come a long way to see you. I said, well, I want to see them. So I went to see them. And there were about 40 or 50 people led by a young man. These were our church members from the region of Chernobyl. The authorities had evacuated the people from the region of Chernobyl, but some people a little distance from the reactor had nowhere to go. This is all they had, and they refused to go. These were people who came from the little Adventist church at Chernobyl. Old men, old women, young couples and little children. Faithful to God, faithful unto death. And they were led by a young man. He must have been just in his 20s. He was thin, emaciated. I said to the people, who is this man? They said, he is our pastor. I said, you are the pastor talking through. Yes, I am the pastor. Why are you here? He said, we've come all this way. We've got a bus. We've come to hear the word of God and to meet our brothers and our sisters. And then I said something to him. I said, I have been told how dangerous it is to live where you are living. Why don't you leave? He said, how can I leave my church members? These are my fathers and my mothers and my brothers and my sisters, my boys and my girls. I said, are you aware of the fact, Pastor, that this could kill you? It is killing you. He said, I will never, never leave my people. We call him the man from Chernobyl. I hugged him. We prayed with him. We gave them some help. I thought of the text that Jesus said, the words Jesus said. He said, the salt has not lost its savor. You can't kill it. You can't kill the gospel. You can't kill the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know, atheism could not kill the church of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Our God is mighty to save. Glory, hallelujah.
Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The greatest of all virtues is selfless love. What impressed your wife, Beverly, when she visited an orphanage in Kiev?
As you know, Chernobyl was a dreadful disaster. The full story has never been told. But the radiation came down from the skies and it killed many, many, many people. But it didn't kill them straight away. Many years later, got terrible cancers and other diseases. Now, my wife, Beverly, and her team had a custom. It was a great custom. Every time we went to the evil empire, or Russia and Ukraine, the evil empire as it used to be in the days of communism, I'm using past tense, as it used to be, every time we went there, Beverly and her team would visit the orphanages. I did this right across Ukraine, around Moscow, around Kiev, all the great cities of the old Soviet Union. They saw these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful little children, often with no parents, you know, no parents to visit them. But Beverly visited on one occasion, she visited this orphanage in Kiev where they had little children who were the victims of Chernobyl. Oh, God have mercy. There were these poor little kids, poor little children, little babies that would never grow up to live normal lives. Their bodies, their brains had been destroyed by the crime of Chernobyl. Beverly said to me, what impressed her tremendously was this, the people who looked after these babies, these little children. They were getting just a pittance of a wage. Some of them even didn't profess to be followers of Jesus, but they showed so much love. They had the love of God in their hearts. They hugged those little babies, those little children, and they cared for them. It's just amazing to me how God raises up people in times of tremendous need to take care of the needy among us. To me, this was a tremendous evidence of the existence of a great God of love who, in spite of the work of the devil, continued to pour his love into the hearts of men. Never give up, my friend. Never give up. God is alive.
Mikhail Gorbachev was the leader of the Soviet Union when you went to Russia in 1991. You were asked to conduct the first evangelistic campaign by a foreigner in the Soviet Union. What changes did Gorbachev implement?
I saw Gorbachev every time I turned on television. I didn't understand what he was saying, of course. Every time I turned on television in my Moscow hotel with Beverly in 1991. Mikhail Gorbachev was one of the great men of the Soviet Union. He was a great man. He brought about changes, tremendous changes. Those changes made it possible for me to go there and to preach the word of God in Moscow. Two major changes, glasnost, openness, and perestroika, which means a restructuring. We went there to Moscow, and because of glasnost and perestroika, I could run this great evangelistic campaign with my team in the Palace of Culture, just down the road from the Kremlin. What did we see? We saw the glory of God. This was the first evangelistic campaign by a foreigner in the evil empire, which was then collapsing. We saw thousands of people coming, Russian soldiers coming to Christ, the professors from the University of Moscow. I was invited to go out to the very headquarters of the evil empire, to their television center, great propaganda center. And I was interviewed on Good Evening Moscow from coast to coast, speaking to tens of millions of people about Jesus Christ and how Christ can change the life and how the Bible is the word of God. And under God, Mikhail Gorbachev was the person who was used by God to bring about these tremendous changes. You see, my friend, man is not in charge. Ultimately, God is in charge, and his kingdom is going to come.
The Apostle Paul wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then for the Gentile." Who was the girl who ran away naked from the Nazi death pit and found Christ at the evangelistic campaign in Nizhny Novgorod?
Her name was Olga, and she was not a girl when we met her and baptized her. Allow me to give you the circumstances. The year was 1992. And we had been asked by the church in Washington to go and run this big campaign in the city of Gorky, now called the city of Nizhny Novgorod. In those days, it was the third principal city in the great land of Russia, a land that I came to love. And I came to love the Russian people. So we were running these meetings in the Palace of Sport in the city of Nizhny Novgorod, and I tell you, my friend, even if I were to live to be 200, I don't expect to see the glory of God quite like I saw the glory of God there. Maybe I will. I don't know, but I do know one thing. We saw the mighty glory of God. We put television advertising on the people's television screens. This had never happened before in Russia. He was a Christian minister from America, and he was preaching the word of God, and he was asking people to come. Did they come? They came by the thousands. by the tens of the thousands, by the hundreds of the thousands. The crowds were so great that I couldn't, with my team, we couldn't get to the auditorium. The Russian military stepped in and gave us a military vehicle and took us to the meetings. Outside the meetings, there was an old man screaming out, "I've been waiting 70 years for Jesus. Please let me in." The people were breaking down the doors. My friend Danny Shelton was there. He'd helped us to run these meetings, helped to raise the money, because we had to raise everything to pay the bills. Danny helped me. God bless Danny and 3ABN. And the people, by the tens of thousands, were storming the Palace of Sport, breaking down the doors, breaking the windows. Amazing, amazing. People say, those things don't happen anymore. My friend, God is alive and well. We saw Pentecost. We saw thousands and thousands of people baptized in the Volga River and come to a knowledge of Christ. Glory, glory, glory be to God. Glory be to God, I say. One day, a lady came to see me with the translator. She said, "My name is Olga." "Yes, Olga. Nice to meet you, Olga." "Dobry den." She said, "I wish to tell you a story." She said, "I was living in Ukraine when the Nazis invaded Ukraine. Because my people resisted, they decided to wipe out my village. They marched us all out into the forest, in the snow. It is the midst of winter. The Nazis brought their trucks, and on the back of their trucks, there were men with machine guns. We were forced to dig a tremendous hole in the ground, a great grave." She said, "I stood on the side of the great pit. Hundreds and hundreds, hundreds of the villagers were there." She said, "We were told to take our clothes off because they were going to keep our clothes. So we took our clothes off." And then she said, "The machine guns started to speak and the people started to fall into the pit." She said, "With me was a young man. We were at the end of the pit. And in the confusion, we ran and we ran and we ran. And our feet were bleeding and we were freezing. We ran through the snow for hours till we came to a farmhouse. And the farmers took us in and gave us food and clothes. Later on, I got on a train. The train went north to Nizhny Novgorod, where we are today." She said, "I got married. One day there was a knocking on the door, one night at midnight. My husband went to the door." She said, "I never saw him again. We know he was murdered by the atheists and the communists, the rulers of the evil empire." She said, "I've lived alone for 50 years without any hope, in despair." Then she said, "I came to the Palace of Sport and I heard the preaching of the Bible and the preaching of Christ and the preaching of the resurrection and the preaching of the cross." And she said, "Today, I'm so happy because I have Jesus and Jesus has saved me. And I'm looking forward to Jesus coming and taking me home to glory." That was Olga, the girl who ran away from the machine guns of the Nazis and lived for 50 years the darkness of atheism and despair. Saved by grace. My friend, can't you understand now why I'm telling you there is nothing too hard for God? There's no problem too hard for God. The Bible tells me that this man, Jesus, is mighty to save. He will save you today if you believe.
The Bible says, "Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Who was the mafia man who was baptized and joined the church in Russia?
His name was Sergei. He belonged to the Russian mafia. I've got to know many Russian mafia members in the evil empire. But this man came to Christ with two of his friends. They attended our meetings in Nizhny Novgorod. And so the three of them went to the leaders of the mafia. They said, "We become Christians. We want out." The mafia leader said, "No, we are going to kill you. If you leave us, we are going to kill you." So two of them gave up the faith. This man, my friend, said, "Never, never, yet. They forgave him. Amazing. They forgave him. The member of the mafia became a member of our church. Today he is shining for Jesus. I've seen members of the mafia right across the old Soviet Union come to Christ. My friend, there's nothing like it. This gospel that we believe in, this gospel that we preach, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every person who believes. I don't care how bad the problem is. I know it's difficult. Life is difficult. It's difficult for many of us. But if you have faith in God, what God did for the people in the Soviet Empire, in the midst of darkness, what God did for people living under the hell of the evil empire, he can do for you and me today. He can give us forgiveness. He can give us peace. He can give us hope. He can give us joy. He can give us everlasting life. I say to you today, in the name of the God who sent me to preach, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Amen.
For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.